Well, we are blessed today to be reminded of what it is that we are to be thankful for. I have often thought, as Brother Al pointed out, it is an amazing thing that the multitudes speak about thanksgiving and they do give thanks, but they don't have any idea of who it is they should be thanking. And so we do desire to be thankful, and we do desire to be thankful for the things that people do for us in this world. But that is not the reason that we're thankful primarily. I mean, we're thankful unto the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. For it's He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We wouldn't have anything if He didn't give it to us. As Paul told the Corinthians, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Now, if thou hast received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? I mean, what can one thing you point to in your life that you have gained that is of benefit to you that that the Lord our God is not placed within your hands? And by the grace of God, He gives us a mind and heart to know and understand that. While the vast multitude of humanity has no comprehension of that. But they go along their way thinking that they have done the things that brought them success. How much is the pride of man displayed as men boast of what they have and what they've done in all of these things. Dear brethren, we ought to hang our heads in shame when we think of the things we have done, because everything that we have done has been tainted with sin in some way or another. But that which the Lord has done and gives us is the freedom from those things and an understanding that He is the provider of all of our blessings. We're looking in Psalm 128 today. This is another of those songs of degrees. And Psalm 128 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." Now, what a glorious word this is to us in the natural sense. And surely, as we read the Psalms, there are natural blessings that are described in that. And when I say natural blessings, I mean blessings that are enjoyed in the natural realm. That is, a man is blessed by the hand of the Lord in all of these things, as it says. Now, the psalm begins with the word blessed, which is an interesting word. Blessed is the man. Now, a blessing is something that cannot be earned. I mean, a blessing is something that's bestowed. You can't do something and get a blessing. In other words, you can't gain it by something you do. It has to be given to you. Because you can do the things that you do and not be blessed in them. You know, a man, he may invest his money in the stock market. And one man invests his money in the stock market and loses everything he's got. The next man puts his money in the stock market and he gains a great blessing in the natural realm. Now, why is that? It's because it was bestowed upon him. You know, because both of them went into the venture, did they not, with the same expectation, with the same desire. But it didn't always turn out that way. And so it is that blessings are those things which are bestowed upon us. And there's not a thing in the world that you can do to gain it. Because if you do something to gain it, it's the payment of a debt, not a blessing. You see, when you work all week and then you go to your employer and he hands you your check, that's not a blessing, is it? No, that's something you earned. I mean, he could say, well, I'm going to bless you with this check. No, he's not blessing you with the check. He's paying you the check because you did something to earn it. But you see, when a man pours out a blessing upon another's when he gives him something that he didn't deserve, that he didn't work for, that's the blessing. And so it is that all of the things that we receive from the hand of the Lord are a blessing. Because if we were not blessed, we would be destroyed. And, you know, men don't really seem to understand that. And especially when we look at our governments and all of those things, they have no concept that it is the mercy of God that has spared us up until this point. I mean, you know, you read in the scriptures about Sodom and Gomorrah and how the Lord destroyed them. Now, why is it, if you look at our nation and you look at Sodom, how much different are we than they? And so why should we not be destroyed in a moment, in a heartbeat, and be no more? It's because of the blessing of God. It's the mercy of God poured out. Mercy and blessing go hand in hand. And so it is that he says here, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Now, if we understand that a blessing is a gift and not a payment, then we don't get the cart ahead of the horse. Now, you see, a lot of people say, well, if you fear the Lord, you'll be blessed. Well, that's not what this thing says. It said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. You see, he is blessed to fear the Lord. Because, you see, all men don't fear the Lord. Some men have no regard for the things of God. They just go upon their way. Solomon said in the Proverbs, the simple pass on and are punished. I mean, they just go on their way. They're just mindless of the things of God. But blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. What a blessing it is, dear brethren. I can't cause a man to fear God. Neither can you. You can't learn to fear God. But you see, when God causes a man to fear him, he can't do anything else. He's going to fall on his face before Almighty God and tremble. See, we live in an enlightened age. Oh, all that stuff, you know, that's all back in the past when men didn't have the knowledge and understanding that we have today and talk about all that fear in God and stuff like that. No, fear of God has never gone out of style in the kingdom of heaven, because it is the blessing of God for a man to fear God, to tremble before him. Let all the earth keep silence before God. What a glorious thing it is to be given such a blessing, to fear God. If you fear God, dear brethren, you should count yourself very blessed. You know, because men by nature just go on their way without regard to God at all. And it is a great blessing when he causes a man to fear him. That walketh in his way, same thing. Why do some men follow the way of God? Walk in the way of God. It's because of the blessing of God. It's because God's given it to them. He's constrained their heart to love his word, to love his way, to walk in his way. See, men think, well, I'll walk in the way of God and I'll cause God to bless me. I mean, isn't that what you hear pretty much today in most of these preachers, these smiley face preachers on TV? You know, they just grinning and telling you, you know, it's just wonderful. You just do all these things and God just going to pour out blessings on you and the heavens going to come down and all that. And it's all going to be because of what you did. No, dear brethren. If you're blessed, it's going to be because God caused it to happen. If you walk in the ways of the Lord, it'll be because God caused you to do so. It won't be because you did it and then God blessed you. Now, we need to understand that. If you don't ever get anything else, I hope you get that. And you understand it. That walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. It is a blessing. I remember hearing one time Rolf Barnard said this. He said, there's a lot of hell on the road to hell. See, there's a lot of heartache and trouble on the road to hell. And that doesn't mean that people who are not on that road don't have heartache. But there's heartache on that road. But there is blessing. There's happiness. There's glory. There's joy. There's a lot of heaven, he said, on the road to heaven. And it is the heaven that's on the road to heaven that causes God's people to rejoice. And why do they rejoice? I mean, did they just decide to rejoice? Can you just make yourself rejoice? Oh, you can go through the motions of it. You know, somebody can jive you up and get and jump and jam and put your hands up and carry on. And you can get feeling better just because of exercise. You get the endorphins running through your body and you feel better. But that doesn't have anything to do with the blessing of God. It has to come from him. And he blesses his people. And when we sing, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. It is a joyful thing, is it not? I mean, where would you rather be than singing praises unto God? What a more joyful and blessed time is there for the God's people who fear him to worship him? I mean, that's a joyous thing, is it not? Oh, what a glorious blessing we have. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now, there's a temporal consideration of this. The Lord does bless his people. Because, you see, it's better to eat a morsel of food in the joy of the Lord than to have a banquet without him. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, what a glorious thing it is. The Lord makes small things to be glorious that the world has no regard to. See, the widow, what a blessed woman she was. And the world looked at the widow who had two mites that came up to the temple. They said, what's this woman doing here? I mean, she's just going to come up here and throw these two pennies in the treasury. What is that? I mean, you know, that's nothing. That woman was blessed. What was she blessed with? She was blessed with a cheerful heart that gave unto the Lord all that she had. Now, what caused her to do that? Did she just decide to do it? No, it was the work and mercy of Almighty God in her heart that constrained her to love the way of God and to walk in those things and her delight. What about the woman that came and broke the alabaster box of ointment? That was a costly thing. Scripture doesn't indicate that she was a wealthy woman. This was a precious possession. And there were some sitting there, they said, why, what? This is ridiculous. To waste all this. This could have been sold for money and given to the poor. The Lord said, this woman's blessed. She's blessed. She said, I've been here. It says, you didn't wash my feet. She said, this woman has washed my feet with her tears. She was a blessed woman. He said, wherever the gospel's preached, this woman will be remembered. She's blessed. Oh, how blessed are those who eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, you know, there's the temporal blessing of a godly home is reserved unto those whom the Lord blesses. That is a blessing, is it not? When the Lord causes a household to be to walk in the fear of God, and this is the evidence of it. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. I mean, Solomon wrote about the virtuous woman. How do virtuous women get to be virtuous women? Because of the mercy of God. To cause them to be so. Because you see, all women that are born into the world are not virtuous by nature, are they? No, but they're virtuous by the grace of God who constrains them so. And they're blessed. What a glorious thing it is. And thy children, like olive plants round about thy table. What a glorious thing it is for the children to walk in the ways of the Lord. How does that come to happen? Now, we can train up our children in the way they should go, and well, we ought to. But the only way that our children will walk in the ways in which we raise them is by the grace of God. Now, one thing that I learned a long time ago, and that is this: you cannot impart your values to your children. As best you can try, you can't do it. But what you can do, by the grace of God, is to set an example for them of what it is that you believe. And so they may not ever embrace what you believe, but they will always know what it is that you did believe, because they saw you walk in it. Now, how does that happen? By the grace of God. It's the only way it can happen. And the only way that children grow up as olive plants around thy table is by the grace of God. And oh, what a blessing it is. What a blessing. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. He is blessed. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord blesses his people in Zion, that is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is seen in its manifestation in the earth in the gathering together of God's people. See, when we come together, it's not just we're going somewhere to go to church. That's the idea today. You know, we got all these fine buildings and everything scattered around all over the country. And one day a week or 2 days a week or whatever, people come and they go to church. Well, that may or may not be a blessing. You know, just because everybody's gathered up someplace in a fine meeting house doesn't mean that the Lord's there. But where the Lord is, there is great blessing. And where his people are gathered in his name, he said he would be in their midst. Now, is he there in their midst because they come together? Or is it that he brings them together as a manifestation of the fact that he is in their midst? You see, that is the work of God, to cause people to desire to gather together. Now, I've just shared this with you many times. I can't remember a time in my life when I wasn't in church. I mean, brought to church. My mama made sure. I tell people a lot of times that I had a drug problem when I was growing up. My mama drugged me to church every time the doors was open. And so I was there. Now, I couldn't wait to get out. I didn't enjoy it as much as she evidently did. And I couldn't figure out what it was that made people want to do that. But by the grace of God, he brought me to a place in my life, in my understanding. And he calls me to delight in the gathering together of God's people. The Lord will bless his people out of Zion. When the joy of the Lord's our strength. And the Lord inhabiteth the praises of his people. And wherever his people are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. Dear brethren, I can't think of a place on earth I'd rather be than in the company of men whose delight is to praise God with all of their heart, with all of their mind, to exalt the name of Christ. I mean, is that not a delightful place for the sons of God? Oh, what a glorious thing it is. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Because it is the blessing of God. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Because it is the work of God to bring men into the church. To bring his people in a way they knew not. And to cause them to come and be gathered together as well. Now I've said all of that, and that is as it applies to us in the natural realm, in the realm in which we live, and we are blessed in that way. But like all of the Psalms, we would miss the true blessing of it if that's all we saw. Now that's a glorious thing, and you can get a lot of good in it, and you could stop there, and you could have a blessing in it, in seeing it and understanding it. But dear brethren, there's an even greater blessing here when we understand that this is a description of the life of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. You see, we would desire, by the grace of God, as he's worked in us and caused us to delight in these things, we would desire to fear the Lord perfectly, would we not? But alas, we don't. And quite often, the fear of God escapes our mind. And we are less than what we ought to be. And so, a man cannot say that he fears God completely and totally every day of his life, every moment of his life, as he walks through it. Because of the sin nature that we are born with, we often fail in that endeavor, do we not? But there's one of whom the psalmist writes who learned the fear of the Lord by the things which he suffered, the scripture says. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered in our behalf. And he is blessed. You see, all blessings to the sons of God come to them through Christ. There's not a blessing you can ever gain that has not been bestowed on you because of Jesus Christ. He is the source of all of our blessing. He is that one in whom all the blessings of God are hidden. How can a man know God except it be through Christ? Because you see, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I mean, you could never have had any concept or consideration of who God is. See, people by nature think they worship, they think they're just going to know God. I mean, if you ask most people, I mean, there are people out there that claim they don't believe in God, but most people kind of have in the back of their mind some idea they think they know God. They think they talk to God. I mean, the Pharisee, he figured he did he not? I mean, he was a fine, upstanding, moral man that was in the temple every day, and I mean, he was doing well. And surely a man like that is praying, is he not? The scripture says that he said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I'm a fine man. I'm doing good. I'm certainly not like this old publican. He looked over there and he saw the old guy just humble down there and with his face toward the floor. He said, I'm surely not like this publican. The scripture says he prayed thus with himself. Now see, religious men pray with themselves all the time. When a man gets in a tight spot, oh, he begins to pray, does he not? Oh, Lord, if you'll just help me out of this, I'll serve you forever. And what happens? When the trouble's past, he's fine. He's like the old guy that was on the rooftop and he slipped and he's sliding down the roof and he's fixing to go off the edge and he says, oh Lord, help me. And about that time, the strap on his overalls hung on a nail that was sticking out of the side of the house and stopped his fall. He said, that's okay, Lord, I got it from here. So you see, men are religious by nature. You don't have to teach anybody to be religious. They'll call upon God when the time comes. But you see, it's not that calling that comes out of a fear, a knowledge of God, is it? It's a natural fear. And so praying is not, it's not the words, but it's the work of God in the heart of a man that causes him to pray. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was perfect in all of his ways. He feared God. And he's blessed. And all of our blessings come because of him. He shall eat the labor of his hands, because the Lord Jesus Christ labored in the behalf of his people. He bore our sorrows. He carried all of our grief. He undertook the redemption of his people. And he poured out his soul unto death. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He shall eat the labor of his hands. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the Father. Happy shall he be. It shall be well with thee. You see, we're blessed because of Christ. It is well with us because the Father's pleased with the Son. And all those who are in the Son, those who are hidden in Christ, they are those who receive those blessings. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Now we sang about it a moment ago. We are a garden walled around, chosen and made peculiar ground. The Lord has a wife. He has a bride. The scripture speaks of the fact that there is a marriage supper that is yet to take place when the Lord shall gather all of those who are his bride and they shall sit down with him. He is their husband and they are his wife. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. See, the Lord has planted a vine, and he has caused fruit to be born in it. If we be without fruit, he said, if a vine has no fruit, then it's cut off and cast into the fire and burned. But you see, the Lord causes fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness. And the scripture says, against such there is no law. Now, do you realize that then everything that the natural man has a desire towards, there's a law against it? You realize that? I mean, the law has restrictions upon everything that man by nature seeks after. But there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. The work of God in the heart of a man, there's no restriction. See, a man's free to love Christ with all of his heart, with all of his mind. When he's been set free in Christ, he desires those things. And there is a fruitful The wife is a fruitful vine. The children like olive plants around the table. The children of God grow up before him. And he's pleased. He's pleased. See, if the Lord ever became angry with his children, they'd be in trouble, would they not? They're not appointed unto wrath, but to receive the blessing of God. What a glorious thing. Dear brethren, not because of anything they've done. Not because of anything that they have produced. But because of the blessing of God in Christ. Behold, thus shall be that be just shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will receive all blessings for his people. Because you see, unto him the covenant was made. The Lord said he made the covenant. He said he gave these things to Abraham and his seed, not as seeds as of many. See, that's where people go astray in thinking that the blessings of God have been brought on Abraham's seed as a nation, as a bunch of people. But he said, not as seeds as of many, but as thy seed, which is one, and the seed of God is Christ. He is Abraham's seed. He is that singular seed. Thus shall the man be blessed. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. He has, and he will. You see, he's intended the goodness. He causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Now we know, I'm not going to go into any great exposition of that, but the foreknowledge of God is not what he knew ahead of time, but it is the fact that he loved ahead of time. See, before ever there was a sinner, there was a Savior. From the beginning, the Lord had a people that he loved, that he chose in Christ. And they are blessed. And there's not a thing in the world that I can do to change that, neither can you. But the glorious thing is that everyone that feareth the Lord shall indeed be received into his presence. For he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. See, we don't have to worry about some of the children of God not coming to him, nor do we need to worry about that those who are not the children of God coming to him and being turned away. They won't come. They won't come. What a blessing it is, dear brethren, to be called by the Lord. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he will. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, what a glorious God he is, full of grace and mercy to all that call upon his name. And why do they call? Because of his grace. Because of his mercy, because of his blessing. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and walketh in his way. Well, we are a people blessed for sure. And, as we sang that song a moment ago, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Oh, that the Lord might help us. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior. or I die.